San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, November 3rd, 2019. Today's lesson is From Thought to Form with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Corr. Good morning.
Good morning.
There is one power, one presence, one spiritual intelligence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so I say this to anchor us in this absolute truth as we begin this month of November with our new theme of demonstration. Demonstration. For without this one power, this one presence, this infinite intelligence, there would be no demonstration. The universe itself is the demonstration of the givingness of love of our creative source, our creator, our one source, the one life. This, everything, is the demonstration of thought, of divine thought that moved into form simply by having been thought. Think about our divine creative process, our teaching symbol. This is the macro. On the macro level, it is all that is. It is the divine source. And as the source thinks and experiences, it is experiencing the very laws that it created and that it is. And so all things go into the top of this symbol, as it were. All things are worked on by the laws of the universe, and all things are made manifest. All things are demonstrated. Someone once asked me how I thought the universe got started. And at the time, the words just flew right out of my mouth. I said, God breathed. God breathed and the universe was formed. And there are all kinds of different teachings about how many years old the universe is. Is it billions and trillions of years? Is the earth billions and trillions of years? Or is the earth and all of the universe only 6,000 years old? Those are entertaining questions. I would have to say that I certainly don't believe that the earth is only 6,000 years old, because we have artifacts that go back prior to that. But how many billions or trillions of years old is it? Well, I don't know, because time is a human convention. It's timeless. It's infinite. It's eternal. It's dimensionless. It is all and all in all. And it is, this universe is a demonstration of God in action. God breathed. And here is our understanding of a physical universe, a physical galaxy, a physical solar system, a physical planet, a physical body. And yet we also know that there was only one thing that existed that could create anything, and that was the source, the creator. And it only had itself from which to create. So everything that we see demonstrated is God demonstrated, Spirit demonstrated, the divine demonstrated. So that's what I think of demonstration. It is everything. And in our community song this morning, we sang, God is my source, God is my power, God gives me everything I need, so I give thanks for all my blessings. God gives me everything I need. God, Spirit, has to give us everything we need because it is part and parcel of who we are. It is our divine inheritance. Everything that is demonstrated, we have already inherited. The other verses are, love is my source, joy is my source, peace is my source, and returning to God is my source. Because God, Spirit, the infinite creator, is also love and joy and peace. So when we think about from thought to form, we can think about the divine creative process. And remember that everything starts as an idea. Everything starts as an idea. And every seed thought, every idea has within it everything it needs to bear healthy fruit. Got an acorn. It goes into the soil. It grows not into just an oak tree, but an oak tree that creates its own acorns. And so every seed has the potential to become an entire garden, an entire forest, to populate all of the land mass, to be carried on the wings of birds to other land masses. Every single seed has the potential to populate the earth. Now, we don't know about populating other planets yet, but we'll get there in time. There are many different places, resources, to find the same teaching. And it's enjoyable to find the same teaching demonstrated in so many different ways. I'd like to share with you something from Creative Thought magazine, which is no longer being published. But this is from November 2009. This was a publication of Religious Science International and International Centers for Spiritual Living. So this is from November 2009, and it is by Reverend John Scott from Kingston, Jamaica. He says, and remember, we're talking about from thought to form, with my mind centered in beauty, everything I experience and everyone I encounter appear beautiful to me. Viewing the everyday events of life from my enlightened spiritual perspective, I breathe a prayer of thanksgiving that my beautiful thoughts transmute anything unlike themselves until the outer world reflects my inner reality. I release my word to the law. Grateful, the beauty of spirit shines through me, and so it is. What he's saying is, my thinking, my thoughts are beautiful. I think of everything as beautiful. And therefore, when I look out at the form of things, the demonstration of things, I see everything as beautiful. I don't see weeds. I don't see trash. I see things being used in different ways, or things being grown in areas that other people think maybe they shouldn't. You know, a weed is just a plant growing where you would rather it not. That's all it is. But it came from a seed that had within it everything it needed to demonstrate more of itself. That we humans may or may not like where it happens to grow is a personal problem, basically. I want to give you an example of thought to form. We have several examples, and it was kind of hard to figure out which one to settle on. I mean, we've got the example of where did this coffee mug come from our classes. I've got my example of my list of 300 things that resulted in the demonstration of my beloved husband, John. And we've got the way of the spiritual warrior. I believe it's Dan Millman. And in his book, The Way of the Spiritual Warrior, one of the things he did was create a vision board. And on that vision board, he got a picture of a house that he thought would be the perfect home for him and his family. And he did this when he was not very well off. Let me give you a caveat here. I think that I'm remembering that it was Dan Millman. If it was somebody else, I'm sorry, but the story is still true. So this gentleman on his vision board had a picture of a house. And he grew in stature, in income. He became very successful. And he moved from where he was to this beautiful home in La Jolla. And as they were unpacking his boxes, his son, who was little, probably less than five, was in the office helping his dad. You know, little kids got to help mom and dad. And he came across something and he said, "Daddy, what's this?" And it was the father's vision board. And he took a look at it. And he was explaining to his son how you think about what you want and you put up pictures to remind you what you want, and things are made manifest, they are demonstrated. And as he's looking at it, he realizes the picture of the house on his vision board that he had made so many years before was the house he had just purchased, the house in which he lived. Now, people can say, well, that's coincidence. Is it? Is it? No. He had an image in his mind. He had a thought that this was what would be perfect for him and his family. This was his desire, his heart's desire. And interestingly enough, when he was putting together his vision board, his heart's desire, he saw in a picture. So he had the desire, the mental idea, before he ever saw the picture, and he recognized the picture. And years later, he recognized this house, this is going to be great for me and my family. And he purchased the home. And it all goes back to the source of his mental idea, his mental image, his conviction that this is a home that would serve him and his family, and where they could live and be happy. It was his thought that became form. If you look on your program insert today, you'll see an icon. And it shows a construction guy with a thinking bubble that has a picture of a house. And he's standing next to that same house on the grass with, you know, flowers and different things, and a sky behind it. That was not already an icon. I got a few different icons and I put that together because I couldn't find anything that really conveyed the graphic nature of from thought to form. So here we have an image of a house, the means to build it, and the resultant house. We've got the idea, the seed thought. We've got the construction person, which would be the law, all of the things that need to be done to make this manifest. And we've got the demonstration of the actual house. From thought to form. It works every time. I'll remind you, every seed thought has within it everything it needs to bear healthy fruit. If we don't like what we're seeing in our life, one of the things that science of mind stresses over and over and over is change your thinking, change your life. Because your life is a direct demonstration of the thoughts that you have had up until now. Until the time you walked into the door this morning, everything that has come before is demonstrating in your life right now. If it doesn't make you happy, if it doesn't fill you with joy, that's okay. It's easy to fix. We change our thinking. And there are people who will say, oh, well, you know, I can change my mind all I want and people are not going to change. You know, my job's still going to suck. I'm still going to have people that I don't like. You know, my house is still going to be too small. And the thing is, those are adjectives. The house is the house. The thinking says it's too small. The job is the job. The thinking says it sucks. So let's adjust that thinking and be grateful for the job. Be grateful for what you have. This is what you have demonstrated. Take some joy in it for Pete's sake. You've got a job. You've got income. You've got job security, quote unquote. But more than job security, you have the power to demonstrate that which is in your thoughts. If you have someone that's always mean to you, then start being grateful for them. Start thanking the divine, thanking the universe, being grateful that there is someone else on this planet with you. Because it would certainly be a lonely existence with no one. Everything that we are thankful for will increase in goodness. Everything that we resent, that we have thoughts, you know, that's a horrible person. I really hate that person. Well, sure. You say that's a horrible person, you're going to continue to have an experience of horror with that person. It's the law. For pity's sake, it's the law. So choose what you want demonstrated in your life. One of the other things that we teach is, in science of mind, is treat and move your feet. What that means is we have our affirmative prayer process that is also called spiritual mind treatment. We are treating for our own thoughts in a spiritual manner. We can't just, you know, flip a latch and lift off the top of our brain and stick our finger in and stir things up to make things better. No, our lives work through our thoughts, which have the power of the divine. I've said that over and over. You can go listen to the podcasts of my lessons. Your word has power, absolute power. And so that absolute power is showing up in your life the way you direct it. I don't know if I'm ready to accept that everything going on in my life is my fault. It's not. It's not a matter of fault. It's a matter of focus. It's a matter of focus. In January, we set our intentions through the affirmative prayer process. We had a process. We set the intentions. We filled out the form. We sealed those forms in envelopes so nobody could see what was on our form. It's personal. It's between me and Spirit, between you and Spirit. The only way anybody is going to know what was on those sealed forms is if you told them. So, putting that out into the mind of God, into the universe, into the law. We stated our intention, placed it into the law. Well, we also gave them all to San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. We turned them all in. And so those sealed envelopes have been in the ministerial desk drawer all year, being prayed upon, being known that the truth is in those intentions. Now, given that that was the intention set in January, and it's now November, my experience is over the year, opportunities came up for each of us to take action. And we may not even have related in our minds it to what our intention was. But whenever we have an intention and we do a spiritual mind treatment, we then have opportunities that appear. And part of these opportunities are related to the law, which operates automatically. Because we gave the seed idea, we brought it forth. We released it into the law, and the law is saying yes. And part of that saying yes brings us opportunities to do more, to reinforce our ideas, to take a step in that direction, all kinds of things. The year I put in my intention that I wanted a new car, come September, I was contacted by a car agency that gave me the opportunity to get not just one new car, but matching new cars for my husband and me for less than the car payment we had on just his car. Now, around that same time, my car got totaled. So I was telling a friend the other day, when my car got totaled, it wasn't that I was fearful or concerned. So when my car got totaled, it wasn't because there was anything wrong with the car. It was because I had an unhealthy attachment to the car. I'd gotten that car brand new at a time where my physical health was such that there were only three cars that I was comfortable sitting in. But I'd gotten that car. I'd had it for 17 years. And I had, in my experience, in my thoughts, a fear that I couldn't go on without that car because that car was a part of me. And I know that sounds irrational and it sounds unreasonable, but that's what it was. So cars totaled. A week later, cars hit again, totaled even more because I couldn't move it from the safe place in front of the church where it was parked And so I said, I'm listening. I don't know what I'm listening to, but I'm listening. And shortly after that, I was contacted for the new cars. This is the kind of thing that happens when we treat and move our feet. We make a spiritual mind treatment, naming and claiming what we want, and then we are afforded opportunities. It's like I might say, I do a spiritual mind treatment that I have a new, fulfilling, well-paying job in a convenient location that I'm comfortable doing. And then if I don't send out resumes, if I don't go looking for a job, how am I expecting that job to come to me? And yet, when it's that perfect job, it will come to you. But you still have to say yes. You still have to say, I accept that position. And if you're not sure if that's the position for you, then we go into meditation and we say, what is mine to do? What is mine to do? And be open to receive the guidance that is going to be demonstrated through you, as you. So when we're treating and moving our feet, we are setting our attention, our intention, we are giving it our attention, we are taking action, and it is resulting in manifestation or demonstration. And this happens not just with things, but with conditions. Like the condition of me being overly attached to my car, the condition of wanting a new job, the condition of having somebody in my life that I think is horrible, and that's only my own thought. So Ernest Holmes, the founder of Religious Science and the author of the Science of Mind textbook, has something important to say about that. And this is in chapter 16, The Principles of Successful Living. He says, we do not teach that you get what you want. If we could all get what we want, it might be disastrous, for it is certain that most of us would want things that would interfere with the well-being of someone else. If I want the car that you're driving, and I get the car that you're driving, you no longer have that car. All of these things that we are setting our intention for, that we are doing spiritual mind treatment for, are all being made manifest for our greatest and our highest good. Taking your car, I actually would have guilt, and so it wouldn't be for my greatest and highest good anyway. He says, while we could not expect to demonstrate that which is contrary to our own nature or to the nature of our own existence, we not only believe, but we know that it is entirely possible through mental treatment, through right thought and belief, to greatly influence our environments, its reaction to us, the situations we meet, and the conditions we contact. Through mental treatment, which is spiritual mind treatment, we can influence everything around us by getting our perfect transportation and leaving your car alone. Here's the important part. Well, it's all important, but here's the part I underlined. There is such a thing as demonstrating a control of conditions. We shall be able to prove this in such degree as we are successful in looking away from the conditions which now exist while accepting better ones. We look away from the conditions with which now exist, and we accept better ones. We accept the new car. We accept the new job. We accept all the power, the presence, the infinite intelligence that the divine is as it moves through us, as we live and move and have our being in the divine. Now, Ernest Holmes admonishes us, no man can demonstrate peace and cling to unhappiness. No man or woman can demonstrate peace and cling to unhappiness. He can demonstrate resignation and call it peace, but it will not be peace. It will not be peace. He gets a little more graphic. He says, no man can jump into the water and remain dry. Unless it's a whole different kind of water that I'm familiar with. But no man can jump into the water and remain dry. This is contrary to law and to reason. No person whose entire time is spent in the contemplation of limitation can demonstrate freedom from such limitation. You spend all your life contemplating limitation. You cannot. It is physically impossible for you to demonstrate freedom from that limitation because you have hardcore faith and belief in limitation, which of course doesn't exist. It's a thought, and it goes from thought to form in every life that embraces and grabs on to that belief that there is not enough. There is not enough. Well, the good news is, this is an infinite universe. There's more than enough of everything. And the law itself always says yes. So if we are believing in limitation, the law says, well, okay. Everything in your life is limited. You know, limited income, limited health, limited strength, limited environment, limited size of your house, you know, scrawny little funky little car, miniature dog, all of these things, and poor weather because you're limited. You don't get enough sun. It's poor weather. So the law will take your belief system and give it all to you because it's the law. That's what happens. When we are open to receive all that is, guess what we receive? All that is. I mean, it's kind of hard to not make the correlation. Every thought comes into form. Every thought is demonstrated. And our lives reflect the preponderance of our thoughts. I can't say that enough. Just remember, the universe always says yes, yes, yes. And so when I say, I see beautiful things, then the world around me becomes beautiful. Just like Reverend John Scott told us, I breathe a prayer of thanksgiving that my beautiful thoughts transmute anything unlike themselves until the world reflects my inner reality. Your world is always, always reflecting your inner reality. It can do nothing else. Now, I also have today 365 Science of Mind, a year of daily wisdom with Ernest Holmes. And he has a couple of important things to say. Now, the good news is when there's something written in the 365, It is accompanied with a quote from the Science of Mind textbook. So this one is on page 159. He says, there is a, Ernest Holmes says, this is a song of hope, a psalm of praise, the acknowledgement of an overshadowing present, the Most High Good, to which Jesus gave the name, Our Father, which art in heaven. And the quote we have is, we are to demonstrate that spiritual thought force has power over all apparent material resistance. And this cannot be done unless we have an abounding confidence in the principle that we approach. An abounding confidence in the principle that we approach. So that's where our affirmations come in. That's where we remember that things go from thought to form. We are demonstrating the spiritual thought force has power over everything material. It is controlling the conditions. Our thoughts are controlling the conditions we experience. So today we know that everything goes from thought to form. We know that that is true because of our understanding of the divine creative process that is represented in our teaching symbol. We know because we understand that every physical manifestation, every physical demonstration of anything, including a coffee cup, starts with an idea. An idea, a thought. And we see that demonstrated in so many ways because it's not just an individual creative process. It is the universal divine creative process. And we each individualize it, use it for our own lives, our own understanding. So with the macro, everything is in accordance with the laws of the universe. In the micro, our life is in accordance with all of these laws in the universe, but we get to choose how we think. We have free will. We think how we think, and those thoughts are demonstrated. And this is all a part of the infinite intelligence that is the flow of all life. Everything that we believe in comes true because of the conviction, our heartfelt belief system that knows that it is true, that which is within us, that says, this is the truth. This is absolutely the truth. Now, there are many different faiths, and they all have their explanation of the universe, the divine, and the human relationship with or to the divine. Everybody does. I have my opinion. You have your opinion. Every other Science of Mind minister has their opinion. And each member of their congregation has their opinion. So everybody's got their opinion. But we always have to go back to principle. We have to go back to the truth. One power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. That same intelligence that flows through all creation. That intelligence with each and every one of us. can tap into to get a new thought, to get a new understanding. So change your thinking, change your life, treat and move your feet, and affirm today, I am grateful that my thoughts transmute anything unlike themselves until the outer world reflects my inner reality. Till the outer world reflects my inner reality. And that inner reality is that each of us are and always have been spiritual, immortal beings made of that same infinite celestial divine stuff that is our source, is our creator. God breathed and the universe was formed. And so it is. Namaste.